for everyone's benefit, including those that have been here from the beginning and those that just reached here. I'll do a little review. 2 things, 2 purposes for this seminar. Focusing on the teachings of Prahlad, because the teachings of Prahlad are necessary to complete the whole picture of this wonderful story of Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrsimhadev and so forth. So last year, this seminar covered its prayers, chapter 9. This is the teachings. In fact, that's how they're stored in my computer. Teachings, prayers, and the life. So we discussed the life of Prahlad Maharaj the first evening, and then we've been covering his teachings so far. We've covered 3, so I'm going to review them quickly, because one of the things that I would like is this other part, is the big picture, how the whole flow works. Because we from time to time hear different sections or pieces from here and there, and how does the whole picture fit together? So that's the other purpose, is from beginning to end, the whole pastime. So when in the life of Prahlad, we heard even before Prahlad was born, the cursing of Jai and Vijay, the descent of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, the killing of Hiranyaksha by Lord Vishnu, and so forth. Hiranyakashipu taking a vow that this is my enemy, and the friends and enemies thing starts there. And then Prahlad appears as the son of Hiranyakashipu, and we heard all of those things. So we began with chapter 5 with the education, because little boys need to go to school. And the teachers were Shanda and Amarka. So after some time, the first teaching of Prahlad comes in response to a question of Lord Nrsimha, of his father. Hiranyakashipu wanted to know what's the best thing that he'd learned. So this is now review from what we've covered so far. This is just one verse in this teaching section, but it's there are elements in this one verse that are expanded in the other teachings, if you pay close attention. The Sadamanye Suravarya Dehinam. Prahlad says, the best thing that I've learned is those who have Dehinam, those who have received a material body and a Sat Grahat, those who are attached to household life. That's how it, Prabhupada has translated it. Attached to asat, or griha, asat. So, home, family, paraphernalia, those are attached to the I and mine conception. They experience anxieties. Samudvigna. Anxieties. Dhyam. Dhyam indicates intelligence. Their intelligence becomes spoiled, filled with anxieties. He compares this condition, material consciousness condition, to Andhakupam, a dark well. And one falls in a dark well that has no water but only misery. And then the last line, Such a person should go to the forest, vanam. Vanam gato yad dhariyam. Worship Hari, worship the personality of Godhead. Ashrayeta, take shelter of him and worship him. Now, that's a teaching to Hiranyakashipu, king of the demons, who doesn't want to hear Vishnu anything. So, he becomes disturbed. And speculation immediately starts. Where'd you get this? So, he thinks it's one of the students that's polluted his consciousness to become a Vishnu bhakta and warns the teachers, don't let this happen again. So the teachers, the next teaching comes, the teachers try to train him up to become a demon. And it's not working, and he keeps speaking devotional messages. So they want to know, where'd you get this? Same thing his father had asked. And who is that enemy that has contaminated your consciousness? So, second teaching is focusing on something that comes up several times throughout his teachings, is this teaching of friend and enemy. Because as soon as you enter into the world of duality, you have sense gratification, and those things that assist my sense gratification, that's a friend, and those that interfere or block or impede my sense gratification, that's an enemy. Or, we discussed this. What does friend and enemy mean? We'll hear some further as we go along. So, immediately he says, oh, I've heard about this concept from my teachers, from Narada, about those in internal consciousness seeing friend and enemy, and now I'm seeing it in front of me. My very teachers are in that disposition. And there is an alternative. The alternative teaching is to become a pandita, a learned person that doesn't make that distinction, friends, enemies. Rather, they see every one of us as an eternal servant of God. They see the soul. They see that which is, just touch on this because this is review. Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha explains that when one is in contaminated consciousness, that which is spiritual is not seen as spiritual. Because there are some things in this world that are spiritual. The name, the scripture, the soul, and the devotees of the Lord, the process of bhakti. One doesn't see them as spiritual. One sees them as material. The deity. One doesn't see them as spiritual. One sees them as material. And when one is in this material consciousness, it's the realm of duality. So, Prahlad takes it yet the next step, not just see the soul, but because that's a pandita samadarshana, is seeing the soul. But then souls are meant for, their constitutional position is servant of the supreme soul, the supreme spirit. And in that sense, there's this not friend and enemy position. One who has spiritual vision doesn't see that. And going further, these terms in the next text. Remember, the question is, how did this contamination come from? Where did it come from? And who's the enemy? So this sva para iti, sva para, Prabhupada is again translated as those who think in terms of enemy and friend, Svapara in his word for word is one's own business and others' business. Like, you know, my territory and your territory. I and mine. Svapara, friend and enemy. So an enemy can be somebody outside of your sphere of influence. It could be in your own home and someone's an enemy because they interfere with your idea of happiness. So, svapara, and atma, the consequence of this friend-enemy consciousness, the duality consciousness, seeing that which is spiritual as material, then one can't see the supersoul. Now, supersoul is there just like the soul is there, but one cannot see. So he's going to extend that concept in saying, you want to know where this is coming from? It's coming from supersoul. This consciousness, that's this one. This consciousness is come about by his will, and he's attracted me to him because he's all attractive. So that's the healthy state where one is not in friend-enemy consciousness. One can see the supersoul, and one can take direction from the supersoul. But he goes on to say those that don't take direction from the supersoul that way take direction from the supersoul in a different way, the friend-enemy way, because it's how they regard the Supreme. Go back to this one. Muyanti yat vartmani veda vadino. Vada means doctrine, and veda vadino, Prabhupada is translated as the principles of devotional service. Muyanti, this is review. Muyanti yat surayaha, the first verse of the Bhagavatam. Even the demigods, the suras, are muyanti, bewildered by the illusory energy, which is, this verse is saying the same thing. Even Lord Brahma can sometimes become bewildered. Muyanti yad vartmani. Vartma means the path. The path or the principles, the way of life of devotional service become bewildering. Certainly become bewildering to those who are in this duality position, the friend and enemy position. So then he concludes that same Supreme Personality Godhead who has created this situation has given me the intelligence to take the side of your so-called enemy. You wanted to know where it came from. It comes from Supersoul. But you see Supersoul as your enemy, and therefore you can't see him. You see him as enemy. But that same Supersoul is giving me this intelligence. It's later they say to Hiranyakashipu, it's spontaneous. So, So this is the last part of teaching number two. Where'd you get this? Who's that enemy that has spoiled you? And we then heard they tried their best. They threatened him with a stick, literally, and they tried this way and they tried that way to intimidate, to bully, to bring Prahlad around so he wouldn't be a devotee anymore. Some time passed. Then comes teaching number three that we heard already earlier today, this morning. And after a while, doesn't say how long, once again, Hiranyakashipu affectionately placed Prahlad on his lap, tears of affection coming down his cheek, asked him a similar question. You've heard a long time from your teachers, and out of all the things that you've learned from your teachers, what's the very best thing? So teaching number three is the ways of devotional service. So I'm repeating these purposely so that they'll stick. Because there's a continuity from one to the next. He's teaching the way of pure devotional service. He's teaching us. The readers of the Bhagavatam are getting Prahlad's instructions how to go from contaminated consciousness to pure consciousness, which is important because that's what we need to do. So when he hears this devotional service answer, now this is new, text 27, he becomes enraged. His lips tremble and he accuses the teachers, "Oh, unqualified, most heinous son of a brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and have taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service, the path of the enemy." Well, they take exception to that and say, "Your son Prahlad, what he said wasn't taught by me or anyone else. He's a spontaneous bhakta, supersoul somehow. Therefore, don't falsely accuse a brahmana. It's not a very good thing to do."
Yeah.
Cultured gentlemen. Cultured gentlemen don't falsely accuse brahmanas. So he accepted their answer. And then he turned again to Prahlad. "Where did you get this? You rascal. Most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it?" So now comes teaching number three. And it's all three verses, well, at least two of the verses are very, triple very, commonly quoted verses by our founder Acharya. You'll recognize them. And in fact, we'll chant them together. Matirna Krishne Paratak Swatova Mito Bipadyeta Grahak Pratanam Adanta Gobir Vishatam Tamishram Punashpanak Charvata Charvananam. Matirna Krishne Abhipadyeta. Matir, reference to the mind or consciousness. Consciousness of Krishna is never aroused in people like you. Now, he wants to know, where'd you get this? That's his question. And so Parata, Svata, Va, Mito is translated as by the help of other people, by one's own effort or a combination. Prabhupada sometimes would say by teaching, by one's effort, or attending a conference. Combination. Krishna consciousness is not aroused for persons like you, for graha pratanam. So very similar to this asat grahat. Language is different. The meaning or the essence is quite similar. Griha vrata, We're going to hear little Prabhupada's words on griha vrata. But vrata means vow, and griha vrata, those that are attached to griha. Same as this very first teaching, those that are too much attached to family life. Same point that Devahuti speaks to Kapila Dev. I'm too much attached to family life. Now, family life is part of life. Generally, there are persons that don't enter family life. And when one enters family life, becoming unduly attached to it is common. And just absorbed. Vrata, one's whole life and purpose of life is absorption in that. Griha. Griha vrata. And adanta go bir is uncontrolled senses. And vishitam tamishram, tamishram is hell. And they don't glide down to hell, they go quickly to hell. And punak, this is another phrase that Prabhupada would say. The first line and the last line especially. Matir na krishne paratak svatova. And the last line. Punak punas charvata charvananam. Now these are teachings of Prahlad. Well-known teachings. From our ISKCON point of view particularly. Punak punas charvata. What's the business of materialistic people? Chewing the chewed. And the common example that he would give, that's not so much known outside of India, but in India it's very easy to understand. Somebody on the roadside sells sugarcane juice. And by the side of the sugarcane juice stand, there's the cane that's already had the juice squeezed out. And anybody that's done that, you see, they put the cane in and run it through umpteen times until all the juice is out and they discard the cane and somebody comes along and bites on the cane that's already, the juice is out. And there's no juice. Now in cane that hasn't been already squeezed, there's juice. That's what some people just bite on the fresh cane and chew it and it's sweet. Punash punak charvata charvananam. Chewing the chewed. And they keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. Just another phrase that Prabhupada uses, old wine in new bottles. Same thing. Over and over and over and over and over and over. Try it this way, try it that way, but the same thing. And there's no juice. Same, you know, this, Andakupam, a dark well where there's no water, but only misery. Different metaphors to explain that the expectation of happiness isn't there. But that doesn't stop people from going for the expectation of happiness objects through just do it differently. Do it smarter. Do it, try it this way, try it that way. Chewing the chewed. So here's the translation. Because of their uncontrolled senses, adanta gobir, persons too addicted to materialistic life, griha vrata, make progress towards hellish conditions, vishitam tamishram. Repeatedly chewing that which has already been chewed. Punak punas charvata charvananam. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused. Matir na krishne abhipadyeta. Either by the instructions of others, paratak, by their own efforts, svatha, or by combination, mitta, hopeless cases. Dad, even if I explained to you, you wouldn't understand. Even if you tried to understand, you wouldn't understand. And a combination of the two, you wouldn't understand. You're asking, I can give an answer, but you wouldn't understand. Because of your Grihavrata and Adanta Gobir position. Too much attached and uncontrolled senses. There's a reference, just this Matir Na Krishne. There's a nice reference, just moving over to the side a little bit. The first time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya met, of course, was Lord Chaitanya was in a state of ecstasy in the floor of the Jagannath temple room, taken to his home. He came back to his external consciousness after some time and went to take darshan of Lord Jagannath and came back so they could take their meal. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke, seeing here there's a sannyasi. So, Namo Narayanaya. I'm offering my obeisances unto you, O Lord Narayan. Because when one takes sannyas in the Shankara line, the sannyas, that's how they addressed one another. Now you're Narayan. You've renounced the world. Now you're Narayan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Krishne Matirastu. Right there in the Bhagavatam, Madhya Lila. Krishne Matirastu. Okay. And from that, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, he could understand he's a Vaishnav instead of Namo Narayanayana and saying the same thing back. He said, Krishne Matirastu. So this is Matirna Krishne Abhipadyeta. It's never aroused. And there's these same two things, I and mine. Too much attached to the bodily conception of life, and too much attached to the conception of extensions of the body, mind, griha, home, family, and that subsumes or completely takes over one's consciousness. Prabhupada describes those who are grihavrata, whose only aim is to live comfortably with the body in the material world, cannot understand Krishna. The two expressions, Grihavrata and Charvita Charvananam, indicate that a materialistic person tries to enjoy sense gratification in different bodily forms, life after life, but is still unsatisfied. Now, some of these people look like they're having a party, they're having a good time. But is that real satisfaction? What happens the day after? Or when they get in an argument with a family member or something. Something happens because it's the nature of this world. And that happiness is gone and in comes something else. So it's not real happiness is unending. It's sat. And the other happiness is asat. So asat grahat. Back to this very first teaching to Lord Nrisimhadev. Prabhupada continues. In the minds, referring to Bhagavad Gita, in the minds of those who are too much attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Can the parents take care of their children? Thank you. Interesting image, huh? Rather, Prabhupada's teaching in the purport is, one must try to understand Krishna by serving a devotee. He quotes Rishabhdev, Mahatsevam Dwaram Ahur Vimuktes. I think most of the devotees know that verse. Mahatsevam, the service to a Mahat, service to a great soul. Dwaram, that's the door or the gateway, the passageway to mukti, to the realm of transcendental liberation, Ahur Vimuktes. So that's how we can understand Krishna. We're not overly absorbed, asat grihat, or grihavrata, in this material consciousness of I and mine. So that's one of the verses. Matirna Krishne paratakshvatova mitobipadyeta grahakratanam adanta gobir vishatam tamishram punak punas charvita charvananam. Listen to Prabhupada's recordings and you'll hear these phrases. He sometimes says the teachings of Prahlad, but when you hear them, you'll know. It's the teachings of Prahlad. Now comes another very famous one, maybe even more famous. Natte vidu swartikatimi Vishnu. How many have heard that in recorded lectures by Srila Prabhupada? Oh, you have to listen more to Prabhupada lectures. You'll hear it lots and lots. Let's chant together. Na te vidu svarta gatim hi vishnum darashaye hi vahir artamanina adanta andhayandhayar upaniyamanas te pisha tantriyam murudam nibadha. First one is really, really easy. Na te vidu, they don't know. Na te vidu, they don't know. Sva arta gatim. Sva is one's own. Arta is goal. Sva arta gatim. Reaching Vishnu. Pleasing Vishnu. Service to Vishnu. Connection to Vishnu is the goal. And persons who are in this Grihavrata place, they don't know. Even if somebody tells them, even if they strive or combination, they don't know. And if you don't know the goal of life, it's fearful. It's, I don't know where I'm going. I feel like that sometimes in China because I don't speak Chinese. Like you know, go into a train station, it's wild. There's so many people going in so many directions. It's a wall of people everywhere. And you're just getting moved as well. And I don't know where I'm going. I have to stand right next to the translator so I, you know. If you don't know where you're going, it's fearful. Na te vidu svarta gatim Vishnu. It has so many applications, that phrase. Dur ashaya. Asha is desire. And dur ashaya. You know, the desire for material enjoyment. Dur ashaya. the andha itandair upaniyamanas, that's this blind leading the blind. Blind leading the blind. We've heard that so many times. The blind leading the blind. You know, it's the world in which we live. Who has vision? There are persons, there's always in this world, there are persons that are leaders, but they don't know where they're going either. The blind leading the blind. Like democracy. Prabhupada would speak about it often. You know, you got the biggest animal, and you know, the fierce one, the lion, he is the ruler because he's fierce. So he becomes the ruler. But he doesn't know what the goal of life is, and he's the blind person leading the blind persons. Whether it's democracy or oligarchy or whatever it is, they don't know the goal of life, and they're leaders. And they're leading people into the ditch. It's the way of material life. That's the diseased condition or the default condition. There's the reset position. That's what Prahlad is attempting to do, even with his father. It started the very first thing. Go to the forest. Go to Vrindavan and worship the personality of Godhead. Translation. Persons who are strongly entrapped in the consciousness of enjoying material life, durashaya, and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects. This is Bahir Artha. Bahir, we know from our Nisringa prayers. Bahir means outside. Bahir Artha. The valuable thing is outside. And manina, one contemplates, happiness is out there somewhere. Bahir Artha manina. And to get that, durashaya. I have material life. I have ambitious life. I work hard to get that happiness that's outside of me somewhere, somehow. That's my God project in this lifetime. So I get some education and I learn some skills how to do that one. Such persons cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home, back to Godhead, and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. Sva Artagatim Hi Vishnu. Dad, Hiranyakashipu. As blind men, guided by another blind man, miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men, led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, that's this urudamni, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Saint Punash Punak Charvata Charvananam. Just keep doing it, like donkeys, again and again and again and again. Not only this lifetime, lifetime after lifetime, the light doesn't go on. Just keep donkeying after misery, thinking it's outside somewhere, I just have to find it. Very sad. A Dutch painting of a blind person leading other blind persons. A classic. Well, it's not only in the Bhagavatam, it's from other cultures, people understand that same phenomena as well. So how do you find a person that can see? A tattvadarshi, that's the indication of Bhagavad Gita. Tadvidhi, find a tattvadarshi and take shelter there, inquire, render service. But if you don't have a tattvadarshi, you got this situation. Someone's going to lead, and some persons are going to follow. Just way of life. Therefore, one requires a teacher, a leader, a seer, who has received proper knowledge. So this Prabhupada's purport. An actual guru is Shrotriya from the Upanishads. One who has heard or received perfect knowledge through parampara, the disciplic succession. The indirectly, unpacking Prahlad's words, he doesn't accept Shanda and Amarka. He doesn't accept Shukra Acharya. Shukra Acharya indicating in one definition or meaning of his name, he is a seminal guru. That's what it means, his name. He doesn't accept. These aren't my teachers. I'm not going to follow them. You've entrusted me to their, in their school, but such blind men may lead other blind followers without true knowledge of material conditions, but they are not accepted for devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So let's go back to his question, because it's come up three times now. Where did you get this? He's going to tell his classmates where he got it, but he's not telling the teachers. For the teachers and his father, the teachers, he's saying, super soul, who you consider the enemy, is being very kind to me, but you, while you think he's the enemy, that's your mistake. Here it's, even if I explained to you, you wouldn't understand. Because you have this overly attached position. So how, when people are overly attached, in practical terms, what can we do? Well, we don't stop being a devotee. We don't judge people. Because that Prahlad isn't saying, you know, friend and enemy. Like, I'm enlightened and you're not, ha ha. It's, he's giving, knowledge. So some persons don't want knowledge, and and he's understanding, his father won't understand. So for us, we can give the holy name, we can give prasadam, we can give a good example, teach by example the life of a devotee. Certainly he's doing that with his father and his teachers. Then he gives the solution, which is the third part of this evening's teaching. There's the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, and the dust from the lotus feet of such a person is this final verse, not so much often quoted except this niskinchananam, this phrase here. Niskinchananam. Mahiyasam pada rajo abhishekam. Pada raja abhishek. By taking abhishek or bath in the pada raja, the dust of the feet of Mihiyasam, of great souls. Mihiyasam pada rajo abhishekam niskinchananam na ranita yavat. Here's the translation. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava who is in this kinchananam, completely freed from material contaminations, niskinchana. Persons very much inclined towards materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. That's this Urukramangrim, glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, in this way can we be freed from material contaminations. So, it's not a new teaching. It's a universal teaching because of just spending so much time in Puri, not just the yatra. I spent almost a month personally preparing for and then delivering this message of Chaitanya Charitamrita of Lord Chaitanya in Puri. Very purifying. And a theme over and over is this one. A classic is Gopinathacharya, the brother-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, speaking really strongly with his brother-in-law because of their family relation, he could do that. Blasting him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is right in your home and you can't recognize him. Because your heart is as hard as a dry oil cake. I don't even know what a dry oil cake is like, but that really hard. And there's only one thing. You will understand only if you get the mercy. So this getting the mercy message comes again and again. He got the mercy. He got the mercy later, as is disclosed, by the well-wishing of Gopinathacharya to get the mercy. By the mercy of a Vaishnava, he got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he could understand. And once he could understand, then King Prataparudra could understand. He became a downline marketer. He became spiritually empowered by the mercy of Gopinathacharya, the mercy of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Gopinathacharya got the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, when visiting in Navadvip, stayed for quite some time in the home of Gopinathacharya. He got his mercy. So he was already mercy laden. He was already filled. And he got the mercy from Madhavendra Puri. And this is our way of Vaishnava life. We require mercy. We require making effort, and we require mercy. This is the last day of Kartik, yes? So for a whole month we've been speaking about getting the mercy in the Damodar Leela. Because Mother Jasoda was able to bind Krishna by the mercy of Krishna. Conversely, she was unable to bind Krishna when Krishna didn't want to be bound. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this. Krishna was exhibiting, he has unlimited potencies. Purusha Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. Is there any limit to Krishna's potencies? No limit. Variety and quantity. Unlimited. That's Bhagavan. Limit or limited? Unlimited or limited? Unlimited. So he was exhibiting some of those potencies. His Sarup Shakti and his Icha Shakti. I don't want to be bound by Mother Yashoda's rope. I want to go get more butter. She couldn't bind him. But seeing her devotion, he withdrew those two potencies and it exhibited his mercy potency, Kripa Shakti. And then she could bind him. So same with us. If we want to do something, want to walk across the floor. You can't even walk across the floor unless the sanction of the Supreme Lord is there. You want to distribute a book. I saw some devotees after our morning session, they were going off for book distribution. I said, it's really cold. They didn't even hear the cold. They just said, we're going to go here and there's a whole box over there. So they want to give mercy. They want to give mercy, you have to receive mercy. That's our Vaishnava way. There's these two things. Vishwanath says the 2 inches too short represent effort and mercy. It's really simple formula, and both are required. Effort alone is not enough. But don't just hang around and wait for some mercy to come. You make an endeavor. And you're eager for mercy. That's the combination. So specifically the language in this verse is Padaraja Abhishekam. Some of you know Dina Bandhu in Vrindavan. The lovable, effusive Dina Bandhu. Anyone that's been around Dina Bandhu has heard one of my favorite verses. He says, Ater Kadamba. We're not off topic. This is anecdotal, but it's on topic. Ater Kadamba is one of the nicest places, simple, but spiritually significant places in the whole of Vrindavan. Because it's a place where Radha and Krishna, in between where Radha was living in her so-called marriage, and Krishna was living as the son of Nanda Maharaj. It's in between. It's a grove of kadamba trees, and many wonderful pastimes would take place there. And it's a place where Rupa Goswami kept his residence sometimes. Many times. It's said he wrote much of Nectar of Devotion there. There's this deity of Krishna Balaram at that place. It's in this grove of trees. I'm sure there were more kadamba trees some time ago. People poach. Anyway, nice place. And above is this verse written by Raghunath Das Goswami about Rupa Goswami. And he's appealing. Raghunath is appealing birth after birth. Let me take some dust from the feet of Rupa Goswami. So here it's take Abhishek from the dust of an exalted devotee, this Kinchananam Bhakta. Mercy. And if one is eager for mercy, Krishna is not going to disappoint you. You may have to be patient. That's fine. Krishna will not disappoint you. always he's very kind. So, becoming Krishna conscious brings about this word that's in the verse, anartha apagama, anartha apagama. Right here. Anartha apagama. Becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha apagama. What's that? The disappearance of all anarthas. Yay! The miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted. The image here is the Chaitadarpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the heart. So it's the chanting of the holy name and the bhakti process itself is purifying. We heard this morning about the purification. Hiranyakashipu needed purification. Prahlad was offering it. His purification was his undue attachment to money and women. And Prahlad was offering him purification. Then we heard about this ultimate purification. It's Vaikuntha consciousness, total absorption in the personality of Godhead. So the process of devotional service carries one to that place. Anartha, apagama. Then there's the negative. There's other things that people try instead. They don't want bhakti. They don't want to surrender. That's demeaning. So they try some other method. Prabhupada quotes Mandaka Upanishad. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medaya Na Bahuna Shrutena. So to become Atma, to become self-realized, it's not going to happen by academic education, Bahuna Shrutena. It's not going to happen by presenting lectures in an erudite way, Pravachanena Labhya, or by being an intelligent scientist. Na media. That's exalted by worldly standard, but it's not going to bring the desired result. Rather, unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master, are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. This is another verse that's good to know. It's often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody know the verse? Would like to recite it? Yasya devi para bhaktir tatha deve tatha garo tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. That's the verse. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata deve tatha garo. Those who have implicit faith in the Lord and the spiritual master, the import of all the Vedic knowledge is revealed. Tasyaite katita yarta prakashante. Prakash. They become manifest. The meanings become manifest. There's this nice statement, similar statement in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj says, one who has faith in Lord Chaitanya, the impossible becomes possible. The blind man can see the stars in the sky. A lame man can climb a mountain. Anybody that's had some leg ailment, just maybe walking upstairs would to speak of climb a mountain. But a layman can climb a mountain. And even a fool can understand the conclusions of Vedic knowledge. Just, that's Krishna Das Kaviraj's statement about faith in Lord Chaitanya. Here's this Upanishad statement of faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, Yata Deve Tata Guru. That's the method. And, you know, the previous one is, that's not the method. And that's what he's saying to Hiranyakashipu. You wouldn't understand. You got the wrong method. No matter how long you go on with that other method. One other reference found in this purport from Mandaka Upanishad. The Lord is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. That's the mercy part. To such a person he manifests his own form. Doesn't mean there's no effort required. It means one, it happens when mercy comes. So, enough teaching from this little boy, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu flies into a rage. He throws his son on the ground and orders in several verses, he should be killed. He is not a son. He is an enemy. And immediately he should be killed, called for the guards. And the next section is on the unsuccessful attempts to kill Prahlad. That's, you know, a nice section of chapter 5. And tomorrow morning we'll start with chapter 6. What happens after that? Okay, so can we have the microphone and somebody would like to discuss any of these points? Go back and chant the verses again, maybe. Very complicated back there. I don't know how they keep track of everything. The sound room. Well, without the microphone, anyone with comment or question? Yes? I can give you my microphone.
In 7532 Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that the first part says that unless one is free from material contaminations, one material attachments, one cannot be attached to lotus feet of Vishnu.
Yeah.
And the second part says one can become only by becoming Krishna consciousness. One can become free from all anarthas. So,
which comes first? Mercy. Mercy comes first. And by mercy, one can go beyond the contamination and take shelter. So it's not an on-off switch. It's not exactly a cause and effect. The intervening principle is mercy. And then there's degrees of mercy and there's degrees of receptivity of mercy. But that's the intervening factor. It's not a chicken and the egg question.
Sorry?
It's not which comes first. Chicken and the egg, you know that?
Uh-huh.
Which comes first, the chicken or the egg? You know that question. You've heard that? Never? You've heard that, okay. So which comes first, the free from contamination or the shelter of the lotus feet? That's not a which comes first question. The mercy comes first. And then the
contamination is removed and attachment.
So it's not fully true that if one is very materially attached, he cannot take the shelter of the lotus feet of Vishnu. It's not completely. I mean, one cannot. No need to be scared that I'm attached to. I have these material attachments, so I'm not qualified to take shelter of lotus. It doesn't mean that, right? I just want to verify.
If I've understood your question correctly, you or any one of us is not excluded from shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord if we have contamination. That's a major part of Prahlad's teaching. Yeah, so too attached. That, you know, it's not just semantics, it's consciousness. So, you're attached. Your son is fantastic. And you're attached to him and he's attached to you. And you wouldn't be a good mother if you weren't attached to your son. The teaching is not be detached from your son. Undue attachment is another thing. Then you're blinded. You can't really see his spiritual well-being or anything when one is too attached. Undue attachment is a problem. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
It's a really nice place to understand this more is Queen Kunti's prayers, those concluding verses where she's speaking about, please cut my attachment. Prabhupada says, if you have to be attached or you're dead. So it's not an appeal, die, so that then you're not attached anymore. But it's the undue attachment. The undue attachment that blocks, the result of which is it blocks the sense of connectivity with Krishna. Rather, being a mother to your wonderful son is part of your service to Krishna. It can help you in your service to Krishna and your attachment to Krishna. That's what it's meant for in the transcendental sense. But that's dependent upon consciousness. And the Krishna consciousness is dependent upon mercy and eagerness for it. Okay? Someone else. Someone else had their hand up. No. Okay, yes, back there.
I just thought of sharing this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto.
11th Canto, okay.
11th Canto, chapter 20, where Krishna speaks to Uddhava.
Yeah.
He says, it's a beautiful verse. I'll just read the translation. If somehow or either by good fortune one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither disgusted with nor very much attached to material life, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me.
Yes. There's another verse that says similar. A candidate for devotional service is neither too much attached or too much detached. Too much detached is impersonal. Too much attached is material. A good candidate is neither of those. Too much attached, too much detached. So some attachment is necessary, but Krishna conscious attachment is towards the end of service to Krishna with that objective, like this earlier question of this afternoon, late morning, pleasing Krishna is the goal. That's the point of spiritual attachment. Pleasing Krishna is the goal. It gets mixed when we're overly attached and then we get blinded to the real goal. We can't see And then we get another kind of intelligence, the attached intelligence. And things get unpleasant when that happens. We make wrong decisions, etc. Resentment and misunderstanding and, you know, we know that territory too well. So then the other is Krishna consciousness.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, in the 32nd verse, the description is about how lotus dust from the lotus feet of a pure devotee is required for someone to develop attachment to Krishna. So is that only literal meaning or something else also we need to learn from it?
Are there other options on the menu? That's what you're asking?
No. Is the best way is to request everyone for their dust, or what is the right thing we should understand from there?
I didn't get your question. Say it again slower.
Oh, sure.
Help me say it slow.
Yeah. In the 32nd verse, the first portion.
Yeah.
First portion talks about the taking the dust from the lotus feet.
Yeah.
I should take that as literally.
And literally.
Literally, yeah.
That's your question?
Yes. What are the right way to do it? Yeah.
Well, it's explained in some places. Receiving the instructions of and carrying out the instructions of, that's the meaning, or that's a meaning. It can be both. You can say literally.
About the question of having a right mix of attachment and detachment.
Having a right of?
So the question of from Mataji about having the right mix of attachment and detachment. Or
okay.
Having the right...
Well, it's spiritualizing our attachment, but it's not exactly the right mix of. Go ahead.
Yeah, that sounds... Either we when we want to detach from something, we try to ignore it, try to keep our focus away from it.
That's material.
And if when you're attached, we try to think about it. But when you are trying to do something that's kind of together, where you're trying to have a right balance, that seems very difficult.
Well, you know, being married is a classic. What's the sense of being married if you're not attached to your wife? Your wife not attached to you, like, you know, see you later. Who cares about you? So, it's not coldness of heart. There's attachment. But spiritualizing the attachment is, let us together serve Krishna. Now there's a material dimension. But it becomes spiritualized to the point where it's not material anymore. And that's the journey. And if one isn't attentive in that journey, then it's easy to fall into the ditch of too much attachment or detached. Because if one loses sight of the purpose, Krishna is to be pleased, then it's about my interest and you're not serving my interest properly anymore. And we have a family quarrel. And there's always going to be differences, and there's always going to be, you know, so Krishna's interest is to be clear. Keep that in the center, and it spiritualizes. And elevates to the point where it's not material attachment anymore. That's the goal. And it's an elevated goal, but that's the goal. Until that's there, there's, you know, duality. My interest and your interest, and we compromise. Sometimes. Sometimes I'm the boss. Anyway. Yes. Follow up? Same? No, different. Okay.
I just want to verify the friend and enemy definition which Prahlad Maharaj says. So friend means the one who inflates, encourages our ego, false ego, and the enemy means one who deflates, like discourages.
Not just false ego. Yes, and, you know, the mind and the senses. The language that's used by Kapiladev is, what the Prabhupada translated as, separatist. That and our interest is separate. Vinadrik is the Sanskrit. One sees one's interest separate from the interest of the Supreme Lord. So, false ego, mind, and senses. Or, you know, so, that's an enemy. You're interfering with my sense enjoyment. You're interfering with my conception of what happiness is. You know, you're blocking the sun. Can you get out of the way, please? Because my happiness is when there's sunshine. Can you get out of the way? And they don't get out of the way, so they're an enemy. You know, the mental conception of what's good, what's bad, you know, mental conception. Now there's a transcendental conception and there's a mundane conception. So the friend enemy comes on the mundane platform. It centers around the mind and the conceptions of life that we carry in the mind. But you know, it's energized by, as you said, false ego. It's not the whole picture. It's the holistic picture of I'm meant to be the enjoyer. You're interfering with my enjoyment. Can you please get out of the way? You're an enemy. If you don't, if you get out of the way, you're okay, you're nice. Helps you. Look, we've all been through it. We had friends, and then we became devotees, and then those people are not our friends anymore. We all went through it. Because friendship means, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours. You satisfy something I need, I satisfy something you need. It's an unwritten business contract. And you violated your contract. You don't satisfy my stuff anymore. What's wrong with you? You become a fanatic. And you know, you're not fun anymore. I'm see you later. I'll find friends. Now, it's not always like that. But there's a share of that kind of thing. That's what a friend is. We assist one another in fulfilling our expectations for happiness. Senses, mind. You know, the intellectuals. Like-minded. Yes. Okay, here comes the microphone.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
So before I ask, I wanted to say that I really related to your Chinese train analogy. Like when I'll be walking in school in the hallways during passing, there'll be so many people going in so many different directions. Some of them will be laughing. Some will be talking about the grades. And I feel so, and I know that if I didn't know Krishna was the root cause of everything, I would feel so lost.
Could you speak right into the microphone?
I would feel so lost. But I wanted to know, how do you personally, how do you work with knowing that things will be okay and that Krishna will take care of everything? When you see, when you look at the news and you read the headlines and stuff like that, how do you know? How do you know Krishna will take care of everything?
Well, he's the supreme, it's faith, it's reality. He is the supreme controller. No. He doesn't like everything that bad people are doing.
He doesn't like everything that bad people are doing. But he sanctions. Not a blade of grass moves without the sanction. So he's sanctioning everything, whatever that everything is. He's there. And when it gets really bad, he comes. And, you know, eliminates and leaves the good. Because he's all powerful. So your specific question is, how do you know? It's faith. And it's just like reality. Who is the controller? Step back. Is there no controller? Or is there a controller? And if there's a controller, he's always in control. Even when it's bad, crazy. Yeah. Yes.
Encourage me to go out for gun control marches and stuff like that.
No.
No?
Causes aren't the solution. What's the solution? Look to Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva saw everything that you're reading in the paper.
He did, yeah.
And what did he do? Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what you should do. Immerse yourself in Srimad Bhagavatam and vibrate, distribute the message of Srimad. Be a walking Srimad Bhagavatam. That's what you should do. Not a cause-oriented person. I mean, someone may do that for a purpose that's higher than just stopping, you know, gun violence. Like, you know, we're not a vegetarian movement. We're a Krishna conscious movement. So there are people that advocate ardently. There's even devotees. Devotees. Good devotees that do that. It's purposeful to bring people into the house of bhakti. People go out in, you know, disaster area, devotees, and give Krishna consciousness to the people in the disaster, not just like give them beads, build their houses and help them, you know, with medicine and clothing and, you know, get their lives back together in Krishna bhakti. But, it's a big but. What's your capacity, really? So the first things first, what's your capacity, really? It's like, you know, this wonderful story, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, someone came to meet him saying, you know, I want to cure people spiritually and give them, be a medical doctor. You know, like a Krishna conscious Murari Gupta. And he just blasted them. You know, because there it was more aggrandizement and more material philanthropy than it was, you know, giving Krishna consciousness. So first thing first. We may do so many things. But the highest is the gift of Krishna consciousness. And that's not going to happen by just stopping. It's going to, you know, the modes of nature will roll on. And it'll go over there if it stops over here. It's going to go over there. So how do you deal with the modes of nature? Well, Krishna's in control. We awaken Krishna consciousness. And the lives of people can change.
Thank you.
It depends on your capacity, how much you're going to be an instrument of Krishna to bring about that change. That's where your first attention goes. In Bhaktisiddhanta's life, there's many examples. Prabhupada also. You know, why are you doing, reaching all these intellectual people, but so many suffering people? Starving. In Bhaktisiddhanta, everyone's suffering. Who's not suffering? Everyone is an eligible candidate. So there's different people. Well, you know, people that can't even eat, you know, then feed them first. We can have food for life programs. We're not just feed people first. It's part of the package of give Krishna consciousness and look at the whole picture, and because it's not sufficient. Where's the gun violence coming from? It's not just coming from guns. It's coming from tamagun. An overabundance of tamagun. Overabundance. Overabundance. And some people do it, more people do it, more people do it. Just like, you know, everything that's dark. So how do you overcome darkness? How do you come to overcome? Bhakti. That Prabhupada's arrival message in Boston Harbor. How are these people going to receive? But when they received by Krishna's empowerment, their lives changed. And, you know, life of degradation became a life of elevation. To become such an instrument. And then the gun control is a subset, because it's coming from the mode of ignorance. Or so many. Drug overabuse, drug accidental death. So many, you know, narcissistic things going on in our society. Where's that coming from? And what's the solution? People looking for external happiness, and they're not finding it, so they're getting frustrated and going nuts and doing nuts things. There's a big hole inside, and some people do these things just because it gets attention. It's crazy. The modes of nature acting. What's the antidote for the modes of nature? Krishna consciousness. Be and promote. On earth, if there was a pure devotee, if you became a pure devotee, the impact on earth amongst many, many people was so much greater than going off and campaigning for some cause. Save the whales.
Yeah.
You got it. Now, someone could make a career. Someone could become a, you know, whatever it is, career person with mental illness or something. But anything. But if Krishna consciousness is not behind it, just as, you know, that quote that you just gave, it's ignorance being furthered. The ignorance has to be addressed. No problem. Have a career with something. With Krishna consciousness at the heart of it. Okay, we've exceeded our time. We're going to end. Start with chapter 6 tomorrow morning. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.